This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
You know, leave it to our dedicated listener and friend of the show, Karen Beanstra. She said the quarterback situation is like speed dating now. And like Tinder, keep swiping left, swipe left, swipe left.
It's true. It's
until you find the right person.
I was just talking to Anthony and Andrew during the break about what Washington should do, and do you take a risk? And Andrew feels vehemently that you just cannot take, you cannot risk. He thinks a first or second round pick on a quarterback who's as low statistically as Sam is right now.
Unless you just see something that you think you can fix.
Well, I mean, Schefter said today that Sam's going to get a low first-round pick, which was surprising. So there it is. So is low 19. No, I don't think he meant that. Probably 25 or a bit higher, but we'll see. Anyway, Ryan Clark always brightens our day when he comes on the show. He's in the top five guest of all time. He's been that good. And now he's going to tell us who's going to win Super Bowl 55. Ryan, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you?
Hey, man, how you doing? The top five?
Top five.
I'm feeling pretty good about myself now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Top five.
Now we've set the bar pretty high, though, so you've got to really deliver.
I'm going to try. And, you know, if I don't, what we do is we just delete this from memory and from the show's history altogether, and then we're good.
Nice.
Well, Michael, before we jump into the Super Bowl, can we start with the conversation we were having?
Of course, because all you care about is the Washington football.
No. About Sam. Take Washington out of it, because I know Ryan has no love for them. What is Sam Darnold worth?
Wow, that was so harsh.
You have very little love. But what value does Sam Darnold have in your eyes, Ryan?
Well, I think Sam Darnold is going to have value for this second go-around because people are going to feel like they can fix him. People are going to look at him and see the arm talent, see some of his ability to move at times, see some of the off-balance throws and think, if we can get his eyes in the right spot, if we can get him surrounded by the right coaches, the right people from a skill set, that he can be what we thought he was when the Jets drafted him third overall. But I think when you have a first-rounder or you have a guy who's a top-five pick who has shown flashes, in order to get him, you're probably going to have to give up a first. I don't necessarily know if he's worth that. I do think that if you can get Sam Darnold for an early second-round pick, I think you pull the trigger. I think you do it if you're one of these teams that is extremely quarterback hungry and quarterback needy. If you're a team that's kind of in the middle of the pack on whether or not you need him, I don't know if you give up a draft pick to get him. But if you give up a second-round pick and you hit on Sam Darnold, if he's close to what you believe he could be, he could help a team that was, you know, a little bit away from being good.
But
do
Ryan,
you see it?
Isn't it telling, though, Ryan? The Jets are all the things you just mentioned, and they're probably going to get rid of him. And they have a new coaching staff.
I think the Jets need to, in this sense, if you are Robert Saleh, you want to start over. You want an opportunity to have a clean slate. And a lot of times that goes with the quarterback. Unless you're David Culley, and you were expecting to have Deshaun Watson, and now you don't have him. Like, that's scary. You know, you don't want to start over from a Deshaun Watson, even if your team was 4-12. But when you're the New York Jets and you've been with this team, has been throughout Sam Darnold's tenure, obviously throughout Adam Gase's time there, you think to yourself, you know what, let me start with my guy. And even if you watch the film, and if you're a Coach LaFleur, you can pull some good things out of it. You don't necessarily know if you want to be tied to the baggage of Sam Darnold in New York. And maybe that someone who feels like you can get him to a fresh start, get him into a new place, a different set of eyes on him, not only from the organizational standpoint, but from the media, from the fans, and give him an opportunity to just be new Sam with lower expectations in a different place, that it might work out.
Do you see it in him?
Sometimes. I'll be honest, you know, and I watch every game. I watch him twice if the team is good. So I stopped watching the Jets twice after about week eight. But, you know, when you watch Sam Darnold, like, you especially think back early on in the year, you know, some throws made against Indianapolis, some runs made against Denver. You start thinking about certain things, and you say, you know, we've seen flashes, we've seen pops, But you've definitely seen more negative than you had positive. I don't even think this is a Baker Mayfield year two type situation. And so, you know, those things scare you, but the arm talent is there. I got to see it from a sideline view his last year at USC. And I remember walking past and my son was being recruited by Arizona State. And I looked at Jordan, it's my son. I said, hey, Joe, that's how it's supposed to look. You know, I was like, when you see it come off the hand like that, when you see it spin like that, that's different. And so he does have that talent level, but if those things don't connect to the decision-making, you can't win. And they haven't connected to the decision-making in the NFL for him.
All right, who's winning on Sunday? Let's get right to it. Who's going to win the game and why?
The Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas
by
City
a
Chiefs.
Lot?
And, you know, no, not by a lot. I think it's going to be an extremely good game. I think the game will be close. I think Patrick Mahomes, and I just always feel like this when he's on the field, I feel like he's the difference. Now, let's say we were on the schoolyard and it was recess. Do they have recess in New York?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they have recess in New York.
Yeah.
Right. So it's recess, right? And we're picking teams, right? We're going to play touch football. And, you know, you got the 44 people that start for these two teams. I think if you do that, maybe five or six starters, you know, if you add Frank Clark in there, five or six starters are picked to play, you know, in that starting lineup, the starting 11 on offense, starting 11 on defense, just because I think from top to bottom, Tampa Bay's roster is better. They have a better offensive line, especially with the tackles being injured. They're better up front defensively in totality. The linebackers are better. Secondary is better other than Tyron Matthew. You know, you think Travis Kelce, though, Tyreek Hill, and Patrick Mahomes, they're so top-heavy. And in being top-heavy, that's the difference in the game. And I said this morning, man, and, you know, a lot of people have given me some flack for it because I'm kind of prisoner of the moment, I guess, or jumping the gun. I think if Patrick Mahomes wins this, that he could retire on Monday and be a Hall of Famer. I think he's had a Hall of Fame career in 4 years. And now, obviously, you got to get longevity. But I think that roster-wise, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are that good. The reason we're saying the Kansas City Chiefs are favorite, or the reason people are picking them to win, is because of the dude that plays quarterback for that team. And that's why I'm picking them, too.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How much of an advantage is that going to be for Tampa to be home, especially as we're hearing Kansas City's not going to be able to get to Tampa till Saturday?
Well, I think the big thing about it is this entire Super Bowl is so different, right? Just the way that everything is, the way that the week goes, the way that you prepare. You know, Tampa Bay is going to be home sleeping in their bed this week, but it also allows, you know, Kansas City some time to kind of do the same thing. And I think when you look at playing at home in the Super Bowl, obviously if it were fans, it would be cut differently because, you know, the tickets are sold differently. So it wouldn't necessarily be a home game. But I just think familiarity, I think being around the same thing, being able to have the same regimen that you do during home games during the season is huge. That's a part of comfort. That's a part of treatment that I think guys really underestimate when it comes to playing at home or on the road. And so I believe Tampa has an advantage, but as far as on the grass, I don't think it'll be that big of a deal.
Now, Bowles likes to blitz and has blitzed a lot, at least in the last 10 games from what I think. Is that effective on Patrick Mahomes if he keeps blitzing, or is he going to get burned with it?
No, Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, his QBR against pressure is as high as Brady's playoff QBR in totality.
Wow.
That's how good he is against pressure. Patrick Mahomes has the least drop-off in non-pressure throws to pressure throws in QBR. It kind of just gives him an easier way to get the football out of his hands, especially when he could recognize where the blitz is coming from and now find the one-on-one matchups that's in his favor. I think when you look at this game and you go back to week 12, a lot of the time, especially early on in the game, that Tyreek Hill was able to get loose. It wasn't necessarily pressure, but it was single high safety looks where Tyreek Hill was matched up either on the outside with Carlton Davis one-on-one or even inside at the number three position. And so I think Todd Bowles is going to have to get a little bit out of what he's used to, do some two safety high stuff, do some doubling. Like we used to call it double the stars in Pittsburgh. Like you say, like if a team had two, like a really good tight end and a really good receiver, where I would shade over to the receiver and then Troy along with the linebacker would be, you know, focusing on the tight end. They're going to have to do some of those things on third down in critical moments. They have to change it up, give Patrick Mahomes different looks, and make him read it on the drop. If you go back to the Atlanta game, who was really successful against Patrick Mahomes, they were a single high team that went too high safety heavy in that game to make Patrick Mahomes read, hold the ball, try to throw into zones. I think if you're Todd Bowles, you go back and look at that and implement some of those things.
And can Steve Spagnuolo of the Chiefs use the same things that he did to beat Brady when Brady was younger with the Patriots and when Spags was with the Giants? Can he use that same dynamic? Does he have the players to do it?
I mean, I don't think you have to even look that far, right? I mean, we can go back to week 12 and we saw it. We saw the pressure package confuse Brady. The two interceptions were against pressure. They had some opportunities to make some other plays where he schemed up some guys free. Now, if you look at what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did since that game, though, that was the change where the run game became more important, where we started to see Tom Brady in more play action. And even if you watch that film, you'll see some plays, a huge play to Gronk down the field. The play to Ronald Jones was also a play action where they leave another guy in the backfield. And so I think you'll see more of those things versus Spag, because the straight drop back didn't work for Tampa Bay, not only not well that game, but I think in when you look at Tom Brady as a whole, that's not where he feels comfortable. I think Spags comes with the same game plan, some wrinkles added to it. I think now that the running backs are so involved in the pass game, when you look at Leonard Fournette, now Legarius Sneed, Tyrann Mathieu, Juan Thornhill, Hutchins, all those guys become extremely important. But we're going to see pressure. Spags, you can go back to two Giants Super Bowls. You can go back to week 12 this season. Spags has had a lot of success against Tom Brady, and I think we'll see him try to implement and do those things again.
Well, let's hope that it's a great game. That's what we're all crossing our fingers on, and it looks like it could be fun. So, Ryan, we love having you on. Thank you so much. Enjoy the game.
Thank you, man. Have a great one.
All right, that's Ryan Clark, 1-800-919-3776. Let's talk about it. We have a big ENN coming up. Gary Myers at 6:30. So it's chock. It's chock full. Chock full.
Oh, yeah.
Chock full of information.
All right.
Now, that shirt you're wearing, Icon versus Icon, is one of those you and the other one R-Truth?
No. Ooh.
Why don't they have a T-shirt of you?
Well, we're working on that right now. I'm working on the T-shirt.
Working on it, and then for some reason they stopped production.
Now, I'm not saying WWE is working on it, but I am working.
The Rosenberg Company.
Yeah, the Cheap Heat Podcast. The audience needs a shirt. But that's actually a good idea, because this is a classic Rock Hogan shirt. It's a good point by you, Michael.
Well, you know what? I'm a marketer.
I wanted to ask Ryan Clark. He's one of his most charming qualities on Twitter is him dropping these like pieces of pop culture information that he realizes 20 years late. And this week it was that he just realized that Nicki Minaj has the best verse on the song Monster by Kanye West.
Why don't you ask him? He was just here.
I know, but then you rapped it. I didn't want to.
Well, you could have said, Don always jumps when I'm rapping things.
I know, but I'd already jumped in at the beginning of the interview. I didn't want to. I'll ask
him. He did jump in the beginning there.
You see Don clocking me, Michael? Look at him clocking me.
You know what? Those 70%, that's his. He doesn't need you taking it away.
I wanted to at least get the Sam thoughts. I'm very perplexed on the Sam thing.
Don doesn't want to settle for 69. He wants 70.
Well, let's not talk about Don. 69
is not bad.
Yeah, let's not talk about that right now, given the way the show started today.
1-800-919-3776 is the number. Let's talk, everybody, right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.